Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in. We're live in Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is a spot. Great previous hour with professional bettor Frank B. If you missed any of it, I would highly suggest you go back and check it out. When you download, subscribe, and hopefully like the Follow the Money podcast. Pauly, there is some news to get to in the National Football League getting reported this afternoon. How about this? The NFLPA, their interim boss, said the players have zero appetite for an 18th game. I'm not surprised. You're going to push the limits here, and that's what the NFL is doing. They want it, clearly. So what would have to happen then? Money's going to have to get greater?
Yeah, it's like Sal Pal's dad. Put more money on the table. Absolutely.
More money on the table. Raise the cap. Raise the max number, you know, the contracts that you can sign.
Well, yeah, I can't imagine that they're happy, but they're going to have to play a game, international game, every year, too. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be a weekly thing. Because we're already up to nine.
Right. Including Australia.
Yeah. I mean, they can't love that either. But I think they'll change their mind once they come to the table and offer more money. As Kraft said a couple weeks ago, we're going to push like the Dickens to make international games more important. And every team will go 18-2. 18 regular, 2 preseason. Eliminate one of the preseason. That's the angle they're going to play. But there's already 20. You know, you're already playing 20, but just what we all know, no one plays in the preseason.
Should we bring that saying back?
The Dickens?
Like the Dickens?
Good. Yeah, yeah. Right.
I want to bring back Cat's Meow. Let's bring that back as well.
Yeah. Frank had a good one the other way. Yeah. Boy, those are great stories. Can you imagine the guy you have to show up at work and every single day face
no,
the music?
No, I can't. I would quit.
Brutal. Even if it's like a couple $100,000. Like, you didn't cough up the $5.
Right.
And the guy with the $5 jackpot, the Caribbean stud, incredible.
Right. Now, this is also way down the road for the 2026 calendar year, but the college football playoff will not have a game on New Year's Eve this year. The reason why is because they're going to avoid playing at the same time as an NFL game on Thursday night. They're going to bump it up to the 30th, the way it looks.
Uh-huh.
And then have a triple header on New Year's Day. So
they're going to play that late on a Thursday night? That seems deep into the season.
NFL, that's what I thought, too.
It seems like really deep into the season.
Yeah, me too.
Thought that we would have a Thursday night game. Guide came out today, excited. Mm-hmm. Also excited as Stephanie sent the email that she wants the top 5 plays and props from every guest, and they're going to put together a great package later in the week. That's going to be phenomenal. Humans chiming in with a couple of mine, too good to be true. It seems too good to be true, right? Was that your takeaway as well? Shortest scoring drive, 59.5 seconds. Longest touchdown drive of the game, anywhere from 81.5 to 79.5 yards.
Mm-hmm. So he likes them both.
Yes. One over, one under.
I just don't see the explosive plays coming in this game.
There's going to be a one-minute drive, a 58-second drive?
Again, that has to come. See, here's the angle, though, right? And Frank was touching on this in the previous hour. He thinks this is a big special teams and defensive game. He likes the under. And that's where it's going to have to come from.
I'm with him with the kickers, too.
You need a strip sack from Lawrence, for example.
Yeah.
And May's been putting the ball on the ground. You need an INT from Darnold, who had the most turnovers in the NFL this year. And then you need the offense to take over at the 35-yard line. And then they can't be the Broncos when they take over at the 32, when they lose yards.
Yeah.
Can't get anything as a result.
Yeah, that's a good breakdown.
Are those your two favorite that you've made so far?
I don't know. It's hard to rank them, but those are two that stick out.
What'd you make of Frank's angle with the longest field goal, minus 120 compared to the total points in the game?
Thorough breakdown. Dynamite. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I could listen to them talk for 3 hours. I mean, that was spectacular. Makes a lot of sense, and plus Myers has the big leg, and you know McDonald likes to kick and even kick 4th-and-1.
So I pointed this out. It was last Friday. We looked at a bunch of different networks, right? ESPN was one, The Athletic, their paper, their website, and some other ones, and not a single person that I found. I gave up, actually. I'm like, this is 3 different outlets. Not a single person is picking New England to win the game. Legitimately, every single person picks Seattle. And I figured, well, we're a gambling network. At least a couple of people are going to pick New England in the guide here. 29 people contributed their thoughts on the game and who they're picking to win with the score. Out of 29, 22 picked Seattle. 7 on New England. 7.
Hmm.
ESPN, not a single person. Athletic, not a single person. I think the other one was Yahoo. Same thing. You think 7 out of 29 is too many? The 4.5-point spread.
Oh, that's good, yeah. It's about time. Not like the spread's double digits here. So finally, you get some people picking the Patriots.
Scott Seidenberg's favorite bet, shortest touchdown under 1.5 yards.
Yeah. You know, they like the Road Warriors angle, too. Seattle's been the nuts on the road, but New England hasn't lost on the road the whole season. And Mac Collins. So Seidenberg's prop, which I bet as well, 5 of the last 6 years has hit and 8 of the last 10.
Uh-huh.
You can also bet, will both teams have a 1-yard touchdown, plus 450. That's available. But that's a good one with Scott in the bet. It's cashed 5 of the last 6, so good research there. I'm with him on that one.
I always like this breakdown in the guide here at VSiN. Matt Devine goes over the historical numbers and what he can find overall, odds available at certain books here in Las Vegas and beyond. And then, you know, he's going to bet a bunch of units overall. He's risking 37 units. And Matt's been on this show Super Bowl week before. And it's basically just he's betting a lot of no's. Usually, like, for example, will there be a score in the final 3:30 of the game? He's betting 6 units on the no. And he goes back now the last, on that bet, the last 24 years, the no has cashed 22 times, 91.7%. Implied odds, minus $11. The bet that he found at the Westgate was minus 600.
Oh.
No score, final 3:30 of the game. Can you believe it's only happened twice in the last 24 years?
No.
I automatically would have assumed we'd get it more.
Mm-hmm.
Will the team that scores last win the game? And this is becoming more popular by the year. He bet 2 units on the yes. Again, going back the last 24 Super Bowls, the team that scored last won 21 out of those 24 Super Bowls. That's 87.5%. Implied odds, minus $7. FanDuel had minus $2 on that one.
Happened last year.
Mm-hmm.
The no. Kansas City scored last. Interesting.
That snapped the streak?
Yeah.
Or that was one of the outliers?
Yeah. You think that would happen more, though. Blowout and, oh, by the way, touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, again, when we were growing up and even through high school, these games were awful every year. Blowout, blowout, mm-hmm. blowout.
So will the final play result in a score? Kickoff is not included.
Yeah.
In the last 24 years, the final play has resulted in a score 7 times.
Get out.
29.2%.
Wow.
Implied odds on that, plus 243. He took plus 1060 at FanDuel on that.
Okay.
Again, something I never would have guessed.
Yeah. Interception in the end zone's a good one. I mean, you really got to dig into that, too. But in light of what happened in the last meeting, they put that prop up and got creative. Will there be an interception in the end zone?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. And maybe 10 to 1's worth it.
So he laid minus 1,000 on will any player have a 60-yard run? He bet the no on that.
Uh-huh.
That's at Circa. A player has had a 60-yard run once in the last 24 Super Bowls. So the no on that is 95.8%.
Who did it?
He didn't include that. I'd really have to rack my brain on that one. I don't know.
Marcus Allen did the long one in 84. How about the Timmy Smith game? What an outlier that was.
All-time outlier.
Yeah, the guy had the biggest performance ever, and no one's ever...
Guess how many?
Who was Tim Smith?
Yeah, guess how many times both teams attempted a 2-point conversion last 24 years.
Okay, that's a good prop. That's up Caesars Wilhill
mm-hmm.
and Westgate. Will both teams attempt?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be rare.
Oh, it's very rare. It's happened one time.
Get out. Yeah, that's a good
Again,
one.
He didn't include the game. I would Was that Eagles-Patriots or was that Chiefs-Eagles? So he laid $8 on that. The implied odds actually, based on history, almost minus 2,300.
Yeah.
And he bet that one here at Circa.
Good. Both teams to attempt, both teams to convert, all that's available. Yep, that's good. That's like the octopus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 15 to 1 and it's very popular, but it's happened 3 times the whole year.
Sure. Did you say that you would need a lot more than 3 to 1 to be an offensive touchdown on fourth down?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
In the last 24 Super Bowls, it's happened one time. Again,
that's staggering.
But it's a great breakdown, part of the guide again.
Yes.
Go check it out today.
And I did find that prop I was asking about yesterday to in a tribute Vrabel, like how they used to use him when he played.
Mm-hmm.
A rostered defensive player is how it's worded to score a touchdown is 18-1. I believe, I don't hold me to it. I think it's Caesars. It could be Circa, though.
Yeah, and by the way, how you can easily go get your hands on this bad boy, yeah. $19.99 for the entire thing. It is free with a VSiN Pro subscription. You can go check it out today at vsin.com/guide.
You're betting the big game, locked in with VSiN all day long. We start Sunday, can't wait, with the tailgate show, 9 a.m. Eastern. Gil takes over at noon, 2 p.m. Prop points, John Hansen, Tim Murray, the guru, big on the quarterbacks. Money moves, Stormy and Von Tobel, 4 p.m., big game betting, Matt Brown and Mike Somich. And after the final whistle, 10 p.m. Eastern, cashing out as Dustin grades the bets and all the props and celebrates the winners on the biggest betting day of the year, all-day coverage only on VSiN. And we start at Sunday, 9 a.m. Eastern.
You can always get in touch with the show on X as well, at VSiN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Paulie Howard. Up next, tonight's hoops card. Big one in the NBA. Luka has been on a rampage, and tonight, very good matchup for him as well. We'll discuss next here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
It was a very busy morning in the NBA, and now Shams Charania, ESPN, has been eerily quiet on social media for the last 2 hours.
It's been a banger, man.
Nothing happened. This is from Jake Fisher, though, Bleacher Report. Minnesota's trade package is gaining momentum as the one Milwaukee values most, with the Bucks valuing Minnesota and Miami packages over Golden State.
Okay.
So again, you can bet this stuff in prediction markets.
Very good. It depends on what they decide. You know, do right by the superstar and the guy who got us a championship. Heat, Wolves, Knicks all will have better offers in the summer. Warriors will not.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also sweeten the pot. Minnesota got creative today and got Conley off the books, and that can help him. The Harden rumor to me is bizarre, that the Clippers could trade him to Cleveland. Number one, the Clippers are playing great ball, and how would he fit with Mitchell? But Cleveland desperate to do something because they want to keep Mitchell, and they also don't want to go out early in the playoffs.
Yeah, Brian Windhorst said earlier today on ESPN Cleveland that the Cavaliers are taking massive swings. That would be James Harden, of course. The report came out last night. He threw out Giannis Antetokounmpo. He also threw out Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
If they land Harden, is there a bet to be made?
With his track record, I can't do it. No.
Would you go win total over 49.5? I actually think they can get to 49.5, so meaning 50 wins or 51 wins without Harden.
Yeah.
I think that's doable, that the way they've kind of gotten better anyway as a team.
They're playing good ball.
Right.
Winners of 8 of 10. I could see that. But you're right, too, about how we're going to mesh. But then again, the comeback is Garland's not going to give you anything because he's hurt and has been out to the 14th. But why would the Clippers do this? I mean, maybe the Clippers think they could make a move in the playoffs without him. But that's hard to envision, even though he's history. But he did have a couple good games last year.
Does James Harden get cabin fever? Like, almost every deadline, it's, okay, I'm going to go play for a different team.
It appears there are people connecting the dots that maybe he got wind of this and then just asked out and said, well, get rid of me then. because you know what's the holdup and what's taking so long? Because number one, he has a no trade clause. Number two, he's got a 15% kicker on top of it, and then he wants the extension.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what maybe Cleveland balked in.
Did they ask him to?
Well. I don't know
to get the kicker out of there.
Possible. Yeah.
And then that's when he said, "Nope, sorry, boys, I'm not going to do that."
Mm-hmm.
He's made a lot of money in his career, man.
Well, he could have made a lot more too. But also, you're right about jumping around as well. And then the big trade was also the Memphis trade, where they are up to 22-1 to make the playoffs. A big win last night, only three back of Portland. Jerome comes back, looks great. They beat Minnesota as a 7-point dog, and they ship Jackson off to Utah. And Utah, see if they go for it this year, at least try to win games.
They can't because their pick is top eight protected. And if they are not in the top eight in the lottery, that pick goes to Oklahoma City.
And now they are a 2.5-point favorite after Indiana opened, a 4.5-point favorite.
How about that move?
With the news, yes. But Utah and Ainge have done a nice job here, as I like what they gave up in return, which wasn't a lot. And Memphis now has 12 first-round picks in the next 7 years.
Oh, don't screw it up, because you had Ja Morant and you had Jaren Jackson, and you basically have nothing at all to show for that whatsoever.
Nope. And Ja's going to be traded too, they think.
Oh, yeah, he's got to be gone now.
That, yep.
Prediction markets, he moved to like 70% to get dealt today. I know this, Utah, they're going to be a player next year with all that young talent.
Yep.
So another team, I guess Memphis is going to go down, Utah's going to go up, but another team in the West that's going to be really good, I think, a season from now. The conference has been good for 20 since Michael Jordan retired,
right.
I think.
Yep.
The way it seems.
Good point. 5-point move in the Denver total. Denver, Detroit opened 224 up to 229. Detroit number two in defense.
What do you make of that?
I like the.
That's a big move.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I would lean under there too, especially with Detroit being so good defensively. And I like the trade they made today, acquiring Herter to get another shooter as they ship off Ivy to the Bulls.
So here's what I was talking about before the break with Luka Doncic tonight. Lakers opened up 8.5. They're 7.5 against the Nets. Brooklyn has the worst three-point percentage defense in the NBA. Luka has hit 3-plus threes in 10 straight games and 4-plus in 6 of them. His prop is 3.5 tonight. On the flip side, the Lakers have the fifth worst three-point defense. This might be a Luka versus Michael Porter showdown.
Right.
Which guy's going to shoot 10 three-pointers first in the game overall? But he is projected at vsin.com/NBA props for 30.5 points and 3.6 made threes in the game tonight. 44.9 PRA, which would actually go under his number in the game.
You mentioned the bad beat here. Everyone going to the Super Bowl or in town wants to go see the Warriors tonight. Now, Philly's on a back-to-back off the big win last night, so they're sitting people. Golden State opened 1.5. They're up to 4.5, but Curry's out with runner's knee.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not playing. And that leads me to a couple props, and always fire up the prop analyzer at vsin.com. Moody, 7 straight unders on his rebounds. Pod, 7 straight unders with his points as well. And I think the move is correct. And even with Curry out, Golden State will get the win. As Kerr said, no concerns about Draymond, that he's taking it like a pro, as he's been rumored now to be dealt. According to reports, they're taking Butler out of the Giannis sweepstakes and throwing Green's name in there. But I think Golden State wins and covers.
Here's the prop that I have in the game tonight. With no Curry and with no Kuminga, Santos for Golden State, he has played at least 22 minutes in his last three games. Points scored 11, 16, and 16. And in those three games, he took, in order, 13, 7, and 9 shots. He's taken a bunch of threes as well. He doesn't get to the free throw line very often at all, so that could be a problem. But I played over 7.5 points, minus 120.
Okay.
And I thought about playing 10-plus points at a decent plus price on him tonight. I looked at Buddy Hield, but he's way too inconsistent. I can't get anything on him. And maybe the Santos kid, I figure that without those two guys, he'll get 25-ish minutes in the game. You give me 8, 9, 10 shots? Okay. A couple of those from three? I'm all right with making that bet. And I also have Phoenix money line tonight, minus 130, as Avdija was ruled out. He is awesome for Portland. They have a really good young core. Again, maybe that team could put something together here for Giannis. That would actually make sense. There's no Devin Booker. Gillespie's been on fire. Over 2.5 made threes in 7 straight and 9 out of 10. But also Dylan Brooks, phenomenal year. Over 22.5 points was even money earlier today. I played him at 25 plus. I'll tell you about that bet coming up in pocket. Last five games, really thriving here. No Booker tonight, like I said. But last five for him, 22, 27, 40, 26, and 26. Phoenix is really good. And Portland without their best player tonight. I laid it with the Suns coming off of a rip. By the way, they got smoked against the Clippers in their last game. They were killed. So I think they bounce back tonight and get the win tonight in Portland.
I can't go against Flagg either. The run he's been on to score 21 points tonight against the Celtics. And we've been talking about his rebounds and assists combo as well. That's been so good. Usually 10.5 in that one. But at home against Boston, Klay Thompson, 7 straight unders on his points. Jaylen Brown, 6-1 overrun with his rebounds. A couple other guys that are on streaks. And there's a ton of guys on 6-1 runs both directions. If you click last 7 on the VSiN.com with the prop analyzer, that's a good game as well coming up and how great he's been. 49 points the other night. What a performance from a guy that young. And you asked this question last week. It's time to ask it again. Can the Bucks actually be favored or pick them in a game? 226 total down to 221 at home against the Bulls. There are pick-ems out there now. After the Bulls make the trade, I don't know what that was the other night when they got blasted by 50 against the Heat.
Mm-hmm. So is this because the Bulls were 2.5, and now the game's sitting at Pick'em. That's here at Circa. Other books have the Bulls -1 because you take Vucevic now out of the lineup. Simons is not going to be ready to go tonight.
Well, I like the Jeff Sherman angle, though, too. Humiliated the last time out.
Yeah, for sure.
They scored 60 points. Come on. They're in the 60s in the fourth quarter, whatever that was.
Do people realize at this point how bad the Bucks are without Giannis?
Yes, not yet. You're right. That's the question. And that's people do not know that.
How are they
getting terrible?
How are they getting to 31 wins?
Yeah.
Now the win totals come down, but when we were betting that right after the Giannis stuff at 30.5, they're going to get 13 more wins this year without the guy. And I mean, if you're going to lose that bet, they have to win games like tonight when the Bulls are going to be a little shorthanded and the game's basically a pick'em. Zach Cohen made a case tonight, vsin.com, on Ryan Rollins to go over points and assists because he is the catalyst and by far the number one guy who the offense goes through for Milwaukee. He'll dish it out, but also he gets plenty of shots up and the usage rate goes off the charts when the freak is not in the lineup.
Okay.
I didn't get there, but I definitely, the analysis on it made sense to me. All right, let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Moore is going to join the program coming up next. Does a great job covering the NBA Action Network. He has very strong opinions on some of the moves that were made earlier today and also a potential move for Giannis and what bet or bets are to be made with a Giannis and where he could go or with a James Harden. We'll ask him coming up next.
Is Follow the Money on
VSiN. We were running down some historical props with numbers that you can find in the VSiN Super Bowl betting guide a little earlier. Jason on X is asking about the no score in the last 330, but also compared to the last game. If I said the last 330, that's my bad. I meant to say the first 330 of the game, so there would be some confusion. The way it reads is, will there be a score in the first 330 of the game? That has cashed on the no side 22 out of the last 24 Super Bowls. If I said last, my bad. Like Paulie has said before, I owe you a beer on that one.
All right.
We go out to the Progressive Guest Line. Matt Moore joins the program now, does a great job with the NBA at Action Network. Matt, thanks so much for the time today on such a busy Tuesday afternoon. How are you today?
Doing well, man. Trying to keep my head straight with all the trades going on in the NBA while also trying to look at the slate tonight.
Yeah.
But a lot of stuff going on. Glad to be on with you guys.
Yeah, thank you. No, you're not kidding with that, by the way. Your reaction to the, before we get into the Giannis stuff, to what you saw take place earlier today between Memphis and Utah with that deal.
Yeah, I mean, look, Memphis has had a really difficult time trying to find a suitor for Ja Morant. You can expect him to get dumped by the Thursday deadline, probably for nothing more than empty contract. Like, two of the things that are out there for him are the Terry Rozier expiring for a player under federal indictment, or Zach LaVine. That's the level that they're kind of dealing with as far as trying to move Ja Morant. So they knew that they were going to be rebuilding. They decided to go ahead and pivot. They get the extra picks. This is a front office that has done great in drafting players, has not done a great job in building culture or you know, when they get involved on the coaching side for Utah, I think it's tremendous. Like, they're going to build around Lauri Markkanen, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Walker Kessler. If you were to say, hey, we need a big to go next to Jaren, it'd be Walker Kessler. If you were like, we need a big to go next to Walker Kessler, it'd be Jaren Jackson. Can space the floor, excellent shot blocker, weak side protection, needs a rebounder, Kessler's that. With Keyontae George, if they wind up getting the number one pick in the draft and it's Darren Peterson, you're set. Like, the Jazz are pivoting to trying to be competitive. It's an excellent deal, I think, for Utah. Taylor Hendricks is basically the thing I'm most excited for Memphis, which tells you not a great deal for Memphis. Oh,
yeah, no kidding.
Isn't this something? You go back to Jaws' comment, I'm good in the West, and all this, they only won one playoff series. And, you know, you tweeted about this a little bit too, where it's, okay, well, we have 12 number one picks in the next seven drafts. It's kind of hard where, hey, look at all these draft picks we have and get excited about 2031.
Well, it's also like, hey, those picks could be anything. They could even be an all-star former defensive player of the year. Wait, hang on. That's Jaren Jackson. Mm-hmm. And we get so caught up with the pick value, and there's a possibility that the 2031 Suns pick is great. What if it's not? What if Devin Booker builds like an actual championship caliber team over the next 5 years there? You know, the Cleveland pick next year, if Donovan Mitchell asks out, then yeah, that could be an extremely valuable pick. What if they wind up turning James Harden in a three-way deal into Giannis? Like, there's so many ways that this can go sideways. I just am not, I'm very skeptical of being able to build the right way, especially with how this front office has interfered with coaching. That's where this all started to go sideways, in my opinion.
So I'm like you. I loved it from the Jazz standpoint. I'm like, oh my God, their win total is 24 and a half. They have 15 right now. I'm like, well, they can win 10 more games. But then on the other side of it, they still need to tank, right? Because their pick is top eight protected. If not, it goes to Oklahoma City. Like, they can't win too many games, so I should probably not make that bet.
Right, I would not bet the over on them at all. They're gonna go ahead and tank out this season. They'll come up with Jaren Jackson is experiencing calf tightness, and then he'll sit. Lori's gonna sit. Keontae's gonna play out, which I think gives some value for Keyontae George, most improved player, because I think that he's gonna be the smart pick for most of the analysts in the voting section. You're going to get the narrative kind of vote for Denny Avdia, but I think a lot of the analysts, especially the stat guys, will wind up going for Keyontae George. And I don't think Keyontae is actually going to sit much. So I think that's kind of the way to go ahead and do this, is that they'll get some minutes with Keyontae and Jaren to see how it fits. And then next year, I think the Jazz will be a bye team, depending on where the win total drops.
How about the Celtics getting Vucevic? Not much.
Interesting. Yeah. They chased bigger names, I know, and I'm still going to I'm just curious what they're going to do. They're moving towards getting below the first apron, which is, I think, what they want to do. I think that they're keeping their options open between, hey, we can save money and reset everything so we can try and then rebuild next year with Tatum. And as far as like building towards adding pieces, they're still good this year. But I think they're also out there shopping. Like, this is a front office that is opportunistic, and they're going to try and get involved in any and all of these deals. So I'm not convinced that this is like, oh yeah, the Celtics got their center and they're done. They were going to move Simons. Wasn't really a fit. He played well. I think he'd done what he was asked, but just wasn't quite the fit with Missoula that I think that all sides wanted. And this gets them a center, which they needed. Like their versatility going into the playoffs. I'm very high on the Celtics' chances of making an Eastern Conference Finals or the finals, and I think this deal only kind of improves that.
Totally agree. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Matt Moore, does a great job with the NBA at Action Network. You can follow him on X. He is at HP Basketball. I saw one of the videos you were doing on X the other day, and again, it's something I agree with you on. Like, the Golden State deal to me has never made any sense for Milwaukee, right? So ultimately, what do you think happens with him before the deadline? Do they hold on to him? Do they trade him? Is it going to be an offseason type of thing?
Yeah, in some of the prediction markets, I've taken a position on Giannis not to be dealt. And the reason is, it just doesn't make any sense. For what you're doing now is you're trying to get a baseline of the best offers possible. And then you make a decision this summer. Is you're able to go back this summer and be like, hey, this is what you offered at the deadline, but now the Knicks have two extra picks that they're throwing in. What are you going to do to improve your offer? And going back and forth on that, I think, is like a real battle. Now, if they just decide that, if Giannis goes to them at any point and is like, I want this deal, I want to go here, they'll oblige. He just hasn't done that. So if he goes into them, if he walks in tonight and is like, trade me the Warriors, they'll be like, okay. And they'll go ahead and go through with it. I think the deal is horrendous. Mm-hmm. They've told Jimmy Butler he's not getting traded, so it's going to be Draymond. Yeah. That's worse. Jimmy Butler, at least you could be like, go home, we'll find a place for you later. Draymond's going to be in the building separated from Steph. That's a nightmare. Like, that is not what you want to see. Draymond can be an awesome locker room guy, or he can be a bad locker room guy. He is volatile. You cannot have that when you are trying to piece together whatever the next direction of your franchise is. I would take any of the other offers over the Warriors offer.
Very good. All right. Strong. Good opinions there. How about this Harden to Cavs potential deal? That's right when the Clippers are playing good ball, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Shocker. James Harden is putting his financial interests above winning a championship. Shocker there. But that's, I think, part of the equation here is he realizes, like, they're playing awesome basketball. They're still three games under 500. They've gone 17-5, yeah. Three games under 500. Mm-hmm. Like, it's too steep of a climb in the Western Conference. And if they run out of steam at all, he's going to be on a play-in team again. But the biggest thing here is just the money. He's looking to get paid. What I am surprised at is the Cavs being willing to go ahead and pay him. That, yeah, to me is the surprise here, where I'm like, wait, you don't want to, this is real risky here. If this doesn't work out, you risk losing Donovan Mitchell. With Tim Bontemps of ESPN's reported has been like a thing burbling in circles, is there's uncertainty about Donovan Mitchell's future. Mm. And you're tied to James Harden if you extend him this summer.
Right.
Like, if you extend James Harden until he's 39, James Harden until he's 39, and then Donovan Mitchell asks out, you are boned. It is bad. So we'll see what happens. I'm not going to be surprised, honestly. One of the reasons I don't think this deal is done is I wonder if the Cavs are shopping three team options about where to send Harden, what they can do with that, how can they still upgrade the team. These things, I think, are all still in play. I think this is a fluid situation until it gets done.
Is there a team worth a bet right now to win either conference based on a move that you think might happen?
The one I keep kind of looking at is whether or not Houston will come in and try and, this is a power battle question. Ime Udoka wants to win now. He's a coach. Coaches want to win now. You want to win now, and you want to win with veteran players. The front office wants to slowly build with Reed Shepard, Jabari Smith, and Alperen Şengün. That battle internally, because they can beat the Warriors' offer for Giannis. They can beat the Wolves' offer for Giannis. They can beat the Heat's offer for Giannis. If you offer Alperen Şengün some of the Phoenix picks, that's already immediately better than anything else Milwaukee has on the table. That, to me, is the biggest thing to watch in the next 48 hours is, what does Houston do? How aggressive are they? And do they decide to get involved with the Giannis chase?
Does Oklahoma City make a move? Like, would Kobe White now be on the table for them?
No. It's interesting with the Kobe White talk that's kind of floating around. I think I am of the opinion that Kobe White is the Wolves' B plan to Giannis. If they don't get Giannis, they'll pivot to Kobe White. OKC, I think, is very content to sit still. They've planned out their future meticulously in terms of the money that they're going to owe, and they're going to be very careful. I don't foresee them going in, because they do not look at it and go, we don't have enough, and they're not going to sacrifice great elite in pursuit of being perfect.
Very good. Matt, in like 30 seconds here, is there a bet that you've made for tonight's card, or one that you're pondering here?
Yeah, Lakers Nets over. Austin Reeves, we'll see if he finally is ruled in, but the word is that he's going to play tonight. Over is remarkable. I believe it's 16-8 when Austin Reeves plays the over play there. Even if he doesn't, I'm going to like that play a lot at the number it's currently at, 221. I like the over in Lakers Nets.
Very good. Follow Matt on X at HP Basketball. Man, you're awesome. Thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate that.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
There you go. And yeah, Matt covers the NBA for Action Network, and he eats, lives, breathes that sport.
The other people who are against the Golden State trade and offer are saying, you want to give us Kuminga? You don't even play the guy.
That's exactly right.
You bench him.
Yes. It's a major problem. Look to our best bets in pocket plays coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
All right. I would say a weak college basketball card tonight. Miami of Ohio already in action. But it can score, man. There's only two undefeated teams left, but this is juicy now that we're in February. Miami, Ohio, 22-0. In the latest bracketology that dropped today, 11 seed.
Yeah, get used
boy,
to that.
Oh, boy. I don't like the spot for St. John's tonight. They're hot, but they're laying double digits against DePaul, and it's a look-ahead game with UConn on deck. And I'm a little concerned about St. Louis, who I love, but laying a big number tonight against Davidson. 9.5, as St. Louis has been so good, and they were awesome the last time out. Maybe a letdown could happen for St. Louis tonight, laying a big number. Last night, Portland State, the best team in the Big Sky, put it on Idaho State. They won by 25. So the move was correct there. 6.5 up to 7.5. That's a winner. And I'll have a college basketball play coming up in a second. New place. This is how it's worded at Caesars. A rostered defensive player scores a touchdown. 18-1 at Caesars. The Vrabel special.
Okay, so that's just, that's a field bet compared to like picking and choosing which guy's going to score.
Yeah.
Not bad.
And you got fat man touchdown. You got offensive lineman to have a catch. You got guy 300 pounds to score a touchdown. They have it all here. A couple, Travion Henderson. How many carries is he going to get? He's also a home run hitter, too. I think the outlier was the AFC title game. I think he's going to be on the field. I think he's going to make a difference. If I can pop one of these, quarter unit, 50 yards rushing is plus 675, 40 yards rushing plus 325. And tomorrow in the pit, a huge game in the Mountain West. I don't like how Utah State is playing. They got off this great start. They have a good resume. They're on the 8-9 line right now. Lost at home lane 15 to UNLV. Lost at Grand Canyon. Were down 20 at home against San Diego State Saturday before they rallied to win. New Mexico at home lane 1.5 against Utah State. That is tomorrow. New Mexico on the bubble in that 11-12 range.
All right, I like the look-ahead stuff. Winner last night with Jerome, over 3.5 assists, plus 134. He laddered all the way up to 6-plus and 8-plus, which was 17-1. I got news for you. Ty Jerome is no longer going to be at 3.5 with the props, especially after today's trades and the fact that they're going to now move John Morant as well. That number is going to go to 5.5, probably 6 in that neighborhood. And Memphis has now been beefing him up on social media as well. So it was fun while it lasted for one full game. The new stuff for tonight. Yeah, man, I like the Suns money line, minus 130. Talked about this earlier in the show. I think it's gone up maybe a little bit since we've been on the air. But the Blazers are missing their best player. Suns are coming off of a humiliating beatdown to the Clippers. Now, there's no Booker tonight, but minus 130. They were laying 2 when I made the bet. Thought about the 2, but I just said, give me the money line on that game tonight. I'm on Santos for Golden State over 7.5 points, as I talked about earlier in this hour. There's no Curry. There's no Kuminga. He has scored double digits in his last 3 games. As long as he gives me 25 minutes in that neighborhood, and you're telling me he's going to take 8 to 10 shots, 7.5 points, doable. And I thought about, I haven't bet it yet, but 10 plus is also plus money. And Dylan Brooks has been great. He's gone over 24.5 points, 4 out of his last 5. I like the Suns, like I said. I think they're going to score plenty of points tonight against Portland. I bet 25-plus points at plus 154 in the game tonight. And I bet Kenneth Walker. Man, going over the game log again, Darnold's going to throw to the running backs. Mm-hmm. Kenneth Walker is the bell cow. Over 21.5, I had to take a bet because the books were moving it up. Does it come back down? We'll see. But over 21.5 now in pocket on him.
All right. Also, listening to Frank B. earlier, there was a, how about longest field goal against longest reception? Longest field goal, $1.40. Because Frank likes, I think there'll be a long field goal. I like that. And the other one was longest touchdown versus longest field goal. Field goal minus 160.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some other good bets to make, I think. Omaha Steaks, baby. Football meets flavor. Official sponsor of tailgating. Delivered right to your door. Get ready for Super Bowl Sunday. Spend $129, get 2 pounds of fully cooked wings. 50% off site-wide. OmahaSteaks.com/VEASAN. Minimum purchase required. Check out the menu, the selection, what option you want to go with. Phenomenal job and a great menu up there and flavor and selection. OmahaSteaks.com/VEASAN. Don't wait. Spend $129 to get 2 pounds of wings. and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more at omahasteaks.com/visa.
Yeah, it's official, by the way. Austin Reeves is back tonight for the Lakers.
All right, good.
He's going to have a minutes restriction, but that total has now gone up at least 2 full points since Matt Moore was on a good 10 minutes ago.
Unfortunate if LeBron would move on too. But that report yesterday, can't make this work? That'd be a tough way to go. I don't want to see him move around to another team, right? Ugh.
It's been too many already, in my opinion. But.
Yeah, I know. Or go back to Cleveland or go, you know, Miami for 1 year or so. That'd be unfortunate.
Yep.
Okay, so the guru has been very good with his picks, and he'll be on Sunday. We're on the tailgate show. Guru making the case for some quarterbacks here. And I think he agrees there are going to be some dump-offs, but first, making the case for Drake May props.
Let's take a look at the passing yardage, 220.5 minus 113. He has done this in 15 to 20 games, 75% of the time. However, he's only done this once in his last four, so 25% of the time, basically in the playoffs. He's thrown for 256 plus, though, in 9 of his last 13 games. But again, he's fallen below the mark in his last two. I'm going to go under here. Just a recommendation, under 220.5. I'm also going to go under 1.5 touchdown passes at minus 155. You can see the odds there. They're not really expecting him to go for two tutties. Not a ton. He has hit this in 12 of 20 games. That's 60% of the time, but only once in his last four games, 25% of the time, and only once in three playoff games, 33% of the time. I'm all in on the interceptions on both guys. They're both throwing an interception because no one expected them to be in this game. Darnold's history speaks for itself. You know, he had a 4-interception game in a big spot against the Rams. Drake May's devolving a little bit. So I'm in on over 0.5. He's thrown a pick in 10 of his 20 games. That's 50% of the time. He has also thrown a pick in 2 of his last 3 games, 66% of the time. And he's thrown a pick in 4 of his last 7 games. That is 57% of the time. Over 30.5 pass attempts is the number for the pass attempts for May, minus 115. I'm going to go over here because I do think at the end of the game, see, it's going to be close. It's going to be really close on the yardage. I think he'll go over the attempts, but fall just short on the yardage. These are going to be close, but I'm going over 30.5 pass attempts. He's hit this in 7 of his 20. That's only 35% of the time. So he's been under 65% of the time. He has not hit this now in 5 straight. He has hit this in only 4 of his last 10, 40% of the time. But again, I am going to go over 30.5 pass attempts. I'm going to go over 19.5 completions as well. He did this on 8 of his 20 games, 40% of the time. He's not done this in 5 straight games. So again, I think he'll have success throwing it. I think he'll have to throw it, but I don't think he's going to throw for a ton of yards.
Good breakdown on May overall.
All right, 8 props there on May. Go get him, Guru. And that's a good prop that's available. Both quarterbacks to throw a pick.
What do you like to? What do you think about the May Day one or May the Force be with you?
It's so hard.
So far to my league, I don't even know what it is. I'm not a Star Wars guy.
That was a good one. May the fourth be with you. That's a good one.
Is that what it's labeled?
Yeah. May the fourth be with you.
250 passing and 50 receiving.
Yeah.
If he hits both of those, is he the MVP or is that they're coming back because they're down so big?
That's tough.
I don't see him shredding the Seahawks defense.
How many of those passes? Right. How many of those passes are to Stevenson too? And what does he do? You know, does it get him down there? Stevenson, top it off, couple touchdowns. I mean, there's definitely a case to be made. The guy could have 60, 70 rushing and receiving.
Well, if that happens, then, and he scores at least one touchdown, if he's got 125 combined or more in a touchdown in a low-scoring game, your 30-1 is going to be super live on MVP, man.
Yeah.
Did you take a nibble on the kickers to win the MVP?
No, but Mike Palm will make that case tomorrow.
For the kickers?
Yeah. I did take Myers. I did bet Myers.
How about we get a 9-6 final, nothing but field goals?
Kick their booty. 50 yards, touchdown, win by double digits, 33-1. Mm. That's that crazy stat. I think every catch, he's at a first down or a touchdown.
I think you're right. Stay tuned. Primetime next. They're going to take you through a busy night of live betting in the NBA and college basketball. Dustin with cashing out live in San Francisco, Radio Row for the Super Bowl. You can wake up early tomorrow with VSiN by the books. Good luck tonight.